And I should mention here that while the parents were allowed to be with their child during the day, taking turns looking after her, this happened only occasionally, and not as a general rule. So Erica's parents were allowed to care for their daughter for a certain period of time, until, I was told, she reached her 16th birthday. Then they were obliged to leave her and she was given over to the charge of her guardian spirits and other unseen carers. This is what both parents were told: you have spent some wonderful times with your daughter. You have given her your protection and guidance. But that time is over and you must now turn your attention to your own work. From now on, you may visit her only on the days of the festivals celebrated in heaven and on earth. Other than those times, you have your own work to attend to here in the spiritual world. At first they were rather saddened by this news, but they continued to be thankful and glad that they had been allowed so many opportunities to be with their daughter and give her the love that she had been missing. And something, too, of the love these parents had given the spirit child had certainly taken root in the soul of the physical child, for Erica had grown into a truly kind and lovable individual, and when she left us some years later she had a very sweet and likable character. Although later on I reproached myself for having behaved somewhat unjustly towards Erica, I nevertheless used to excuse myself by saying that it was thanks to me and my efforts that she had turned out to be such a kind young person. There was no doubt, I would say, it was my strictness with her that had made her what she was and brought her this far forward. Now, however, I had to see that this had not been my doing at all. Rather, all these positive effects had come from the support that had been given her by her parents living in the spiritual world. All this was the fruit of their love, the love that they had given the child. And so, I was re-educated in this respect. I now knew that people, particularly those who have been abandoned and who feel very much alone, can be guided by beings in the beyond, and that such beings give them support and try to comfort them even if they are not always successful. In such cases, these beings will stand in readiness till the person goes to sleep and the spirit body separates itself from the physical. Then they will talk to the spiritual being, giving it all the encouragement they can and inspiring it with hope. When the person then wakes up in the morning, something of his or her sadness will often have disappeared. This doesn't always happen, but people do find that their sleep has given them newfound strength so that they are then able to look forward to the days ahead somewhat more cheerfully and optimistically. They have no idea what has happened in the quiet of the night, of course, that their spirit body, their spirit, has been encouraged and comforted in this way. In addition to this, I was taught that there are some isolated and wicked people whose spirits cannot be given support from the spiritual world. Try as their helpers may, they are not able to be consoled or given hope because the spirit in question, which is fully adult, turns away and refuses to accept the words of comfort. Spirits reacting in this way make it impossible for the higher worlds to give them their support. All the teachings and inner strength that beings here would like to be able to give, simply cannot be absorbed. They cannot penetrate through to the conscious awareness of the person because they have been rejected by that person's spirit. Others, however, are very responsive and very glad indeed to be cared for in this way. They are also the ones who manage to be happy with a simple life, purely because, whether directly in their physical life or indirectly via their spirit, they are able to receive precious guidance and powerful inner strength. In this way, their optimism is constantly renewed, even when things are not so easy, and even when life doesn't go all that well. This is to be attributed to the fact that their spirit is open to the spiritual support that can be given to them. I add this just by way of comment. Now, to return to myself, I had been shown these images and given a chance to look back into the past, to the time when Erica was small, and allowed to see how the little girl grew up. At the time I was given these experiences in the spiritual world, Erica herself was already well into middle age and living in comfortable circumstances, for you will remember that I had passed on when I was quite elderly. I was told that I must put my fetch to love adequately behind me now and set to work to make good my shortcomings in all that I still act. The many sacrifices I had to make in raising my children would nevertheless be counted in my favor. However, I was given to understand that I would not be allowed to be present at the reception of my children when they returned to the beyond. I should only be united with them upon the arrival of the last of them. Only then should I be permitted to greet them all together. By then I would also have atoned for my guilt. My time of purification, or what we can call my work, took the following course. As I have already indicated, I was not to be punished severely. But it still felt like a punishing blow to me to have to hear from others that one of my loved ones had returned to the spiritual world only to be told, "Your mother is here, too, but she is not allowed to come and see you." Only their father was present at their homecomings. What I was granted, however, were visits from my husband. He would always bring me greetings from the children and give me news about them, and I would pass on my greetings through him in return. I was prepared to submit to what was unavoidable, and I accepted these limitations willingly since I knew it was God's command that I should atone in this way, and I could see quite clearly now that I had done wrong. I now had to learn real love. I had to be able to give my attention impartially, irrespective of who the individuals concerned were. I was taught to give my love and affection not only to those who are particularly fond of me, but to all, without exception. And so it was that the path of my own development led me to a house wherein lived beings who were unable to adjust to the new world and who felt unwell. They had returned recently and were still under the impression that they were suffering from previous physical conditions. They needed to be comforted because they simply could not accept that they had to leave everything behind, including their children and loved ones. They could not reconcile themselves to the fact that their earthly lives were over, that they were now in the spiritual world where a whole new era had begun, requiring them to live a very different kind of life. It was my task to visit such Pyopt, and to do this I had to cultivate my feelings of love and empathy. At first I found this hard indeed. I had to go from one to the other and comfort them one by one. I was expected to listen to each of them, and take in whatever they had to say to me. Every single one would complain to me about the suffering he or she had undergone on earth. And I was supposed to show that I understood what each of them was going through, and comfort them as far as I was able. In addition, I was to try to give each of them love, and respond with my fullest attention. I therefore had to work on developing these finer feelings within myself. In this way I acquired a lot of experience, and shared the suffering that so many had brought with them into this new world, suffering that really has no part in this world and which should have been left behind in the old world, along with the physical body. Not all were sufficiently advanced to be able to change their thinking in this way, however. Very often they were beings who had had to leave the physical world when they were young, and they could only view their separation from Earth with pain. None of them had led bad lives, they had been believers. One way or another, though, they all had their weaknesses which later on would have to be rectified. Our next task was to bring them into a state of spiritual heal. They had to learn to change their way of thinking and become more trusting towards their new world and those in whose care they now were. And so I had to go from one to the other, learning how to listen and show compassion. It was not just a matter of listening, however. I had to give them hope and understanding, and look after them with a great deal of love. Whenever I felt tired out by all the listening and thought I couldn't continue my work any longer, overwhelmed by it all, angels of God would come and talk to me, discussing in calm each of the individuals in my care. They encouraged and supported me, saying, "You must talk to them like this, you must answer them like that, you must ask them this, you must tell them that." And so I learned to be patient and loving towards others. And in this way I devoted myself to each and every one of them. This work of mine continued until the news arrived that the last of my children had returned to the world of spirit. It was my husband, accompanied by an angel of God, who brought me the news. This was the point at which I was permitted to leave my work, and I was also told that from now on I was allowed to be together with my husband. We were now to spend a moment of great happiness and joy together, and our children, who by now had all returned, would also be with us for a certain period so we might enjoy ourselves all together. Then, I was told, our paths would separate, and each of us would go his own way, ways that would lead us forward to new goals and new work. This is how these things were explained to me. And so I went through a time of spiritual purification which was not really hard but which was nonetheless a difficult time for me, denied as I was the company of my loved ones. I found comfort in my work, however, and felt confident and pleased that I was making a genuinely worthwhile contribution to the work of the divine world. I wanted to prove myself, and I could see that I had a very great deal still to learn in order to satisfy all that was expected of me. Now I have perhaps neglected to say that certain periods of time, if I can refer to this using one of your terms, were given to me to do with as liked. This was free time in which I could devour myself to prayer or something I liked doing, within certain limits, of course. All of us who were busy with our allotted work did as much as we could with this freedom as I have called it, and we would go to one of the temples nearby and devote ourselves to the worship of God. We would pray, and sing, and praise God in His glory, which to some extent we were already able to experience ourselves. Then I was told that later on I would be initiated IMO deeper matters. And so it was. Same time later I was given further instruction, and in this sense completed my work of service to others. And so I have tried, perhaps a little overcautiously at times, searching as I have for the right words, to tell you something of what I've seen and experienced here in the spiritual world. May what I have told you be instructive, and give you cause for reflection. I have also given you evidence of the wonderful relationship that exists between the divine world and mankind, of the fact that the beings of the beyond, the angelic helpers, not only come to be with people when they are in their physical bodies, but are also with them, to guide them, when their spirits are released from their physical bodies. For we in the beyond are always ready to welcome each one of you after you have laid aside your earthly body, to guide you and to look after you. For the true life is the life of the spirit. Now, dear brothers and sisters, may God's blessing be with you and may you be at work under His benevolent guidance. God bless. Address by the Ascending Spirit Magdalena, received on November 1962 in German through Beatrice Brunner, Maximilian, a materialist with many failings. Personal report, the 7th of February 1962. God bless. I have been asked to tell you some of my experiences. My name is Maximilian Ard. I died about 30 years ago. I was married, not especially happily, and I had no children. Throughout my life I was a materialist. My passions, I enjoyed smoking, drinking and good food. Although I did believe in a higher power or an almighty God, I was far from devout and my faith was a shallow one. On the whole, considering the period in which I lived, my life was really quite pleasant, but I was certainly very self-centered and did not give a fig for anyone else. I did not suffer much before my death, and when I opened my eyes in the next world I was astonished to discover that death was not the end of everything. My mother came up to me immediately and, after welcoming me, said, "Maximilian, you are now in the heavenly world and you will soon be judged." I was still too confused to take much notice of what she was saying. I looked around and thought, strange that this world here is so similar to the world I have come from. Does life really go on? After all, my mother had died, and yet she was standing here alive before my very eyes. And she was not alone, there were many others with her. Then a group of what I can only describe as exalted spirits approached me, and when I saw them I began to tremble. Behind them I could see some of my acquaintances. I tried to read their faces to see how they had fared and to sense what they wanted to tell me. But apart from my mother who said a few words to me they remained silent, standing there as though turned to stone. I could not tell whether they were threatening me or expressing dissatisfaction with me. Perhaps they were not allowed to betray any emotion. I had no idea what awaited me. Suddenly my acquaintances seemed to disappear and I began to take note of my surroundings. What I saw put my mind at rest and I thought to myself, if things do not get any worse, I shall not complain. But at that my conscience began to worry me, and I could not help thinking of my childhood and the many occasions when my mother had scolded me. I realized that I was now at the mercy of the higher power in whose existence I had actually believed. At the same time, I had to admit that I had done very little for the spiritual world. I tried to reassure myself, but already was being asked, "What have you got to show us in the way of good deeds? What do you think you have gained from your life?" Tried hard to think of some good deeds. Various things occurred to me, but they seemed to make no impression on these spirits, nor did I have any real answer to the question about the meaning of my life. As I have already mentioned, I had no children and my marriage had not been particularly happy. So I remained silent. Then, asking me to go with them, they led me away from this village or small town near a forest where we stopped outside some kind of hut. "You are now going to live in this house," they told me, "and for the time being you can do what you like." I heaved a sigh of relief. This did not seem too bad. My companions had already departed, leaving me alone in the hut near the edge of the woods. "Good," thought, "no doubt it will soon be night time and I shall be able to rest." I felt very tired, and though I could not sleep, I felt sure that I would be able to do so later when night fell. However, night never came and I began to suffer from lack of sleep. It occurred to me that I might be better off somewhere else where I might even be able to get in touch with others in the same position as myself. I wished that I could go back to Earth, but did not know the way or how far I would have to travel. I began to wander around and came closer to the forest. Suddenly I saw someone coming towards me. So I was not alone. At the same time I began to notice other huts and started to talk to the people who were living in them. Could they, too, do as they pleased? "Yes," they told me, "we do as we please, but we feel uneasy. We are not sure how long we shall be enjoying this privilege, so we are making the most of it." Then they added, "But we don't stay in this place, which offers very little in the way of distraction or amusement. So we just go back to where we lived before." I wanted to know what I would have to do to be able to go back to Earth. They answered, "Come with us. All you have to do is concentrate on your wish and have a clear picture in your mind of where you used to live, and you will be there at once. You must keep your wish and the picture of where you want to go firmly in mind." I said, "I would like to come with you." I found that they wanted to accompany me to the town where I had lived, and so we all set off together. It happened like this. No sooner had we taken one step than everything speedily changed. All of a sudden there we were in my hometown. I expressed my astonishment at this rapid transition, and my companions remarked that this was a very convenient form of travel. They stayed with me for a while in the town and then they left, saying that I would be able to find my own way back. All I had to do was to imagine the hut and the wood and to move ahead with the hut in mind, and presently I would find myself standing outside it again. "That's all right," I thought to myself, "but it would be more exciting and amusing to stay amongst the human beings on Earth for a while." I did not really feel hungry or thirsty and felt so light. Before I cast off my physical body I had been overweight and I had difficulty breathing. Now I felt slim, I walked with ease and I had become much more agile. This was all very pleasant. During my physical existence I had enjoyed drinking a lot of wine, and I was also a heavy smoker. Now I had to do without these pleasures. Moreover, I realized that there was no longer any money to buy things with, nor was there any way of making money. I was a stranger in a strange world and wondered how long this would continue. Suddenly I felt a great desire to smoke and drink, but how could I satisfy this need? I did not have to go far. I followed some people walking along the road and found that I could draw in their smoke with as much pleasure as if I had been smoking myself. The only thing I regretted was that much of the smoke in the street went to waste. I wanted to find a closed room where the smoke was thicker and where I could get more of it. So first of all I went to my wife's house, for she, too, had been a smoker. But I didn't stay for long because I did not enjoy the smelly odic force emanating from her. Another reason for not staying with her was that I did not like hearing her complaining about her shortage of money and the other difficulties she had to face. Her moaning seemed endless, So I decided never to return to her house and not to bother about her anymore. Next I went to the house of a former friend where I knew there would be plenty of wine and tobacco as well as food. I wanted to see whether I would be able to help myself to some of these good things. I found my friend alone in the house, having a quiet smoke. I stood behind him and drew in every one of his puffs so that I, too, could enjoy the pleasure of smoking. It was bliss. There was also a glass of wine from which he drank a little now and again, and I tried to do the same, putting my mouth quite close to the glass and breathing in the bouquet of the wine. I could not drink the liquid as my friend did, but I could taste it and feel that I had drunk it, too. Then I saw the odic force of the wine rise up and I became united with it. I was under the influence of this odic force as well as that of cigars, cigarettes and tobacco in general. I thought, this is a real pleasure. I shall stay in this house because here I can have all the things I liked while I was a human being. I was mistaken, however. After I had made myself comfortable, other spirits came into the house and told me that they had been in possession of the house for a long time, and that I had no right to be there. I defended myself, telling them that the owner of the house was a friend of mine, so I had a better right to be with him than they had. But they chased me out of the house, insisting that I must look for somewhere else to go. These spirits that went for me and literally drove me out of the house formed quite a crowd. I did not worry though, for I thought that I would find an opportunity of visiting my friend when they were not there. I had discovered that they did not stay in the house all the time. They probably had other things to do, or perhaps they passed the time in another part of the town. So I just went to another house where I could stay and join in the smoking and drinking without being driven away by anyone. Once again, I immediately noticed that I was not alone, but in this case the spirits gave me a greeting. They were not as inconsiderate and jealous as the others had been. "Make yourself at home," they said, "and if you find something you like, help yourself to it." I stayed there for a while but soon became bored. I went outside, and finding some people in the street I followed them into an inn where I could smoke and enjoy myself and feel like a human being once again. That is how I lived, I don't know for how long. I thought to myself, I am sure life cannot always be like this. All the people I can see, and who are behaving as I do, seem like rogues. And I don't want to be a rogue. I thought about this and remembered what my mother had told me about being judged. Why must I go on loading myself with guilt? I must try to overcome my weaknesses and stop smoking, oxy drinking and chasing after food. I don't need it. I shall rid myself of these cravings, but it was easier said than done. I thought to myself, this is what I shall do. During my next day on earth I shall only once look for a smoker, and after that only every other day. By that means I shall break the habit. But somehow I couldn't get rid of my cravings. Then, one morning, I experienced day and night in a human fashion. I saw people crowding into a church for what must have been a festival, and I followed them. I noticed that I was not the only spirit to do so. Almost every one of the human beings was accompanied by a spirit. And so we entered the church. There some of the spirits were listening attentively to the service, placing themselves, as I particularly noticed, near to members of the congregation who were similarly attentive, and doing their best to pray with them. Meanwhile, other spirits were making contact with people who were not praying or thinking about God, but were instead caught up with everyday matters connected with business or leisure. I noticed how these spirits were pursuing their own ends, using their powers of persuasion to entice their human victims to adopt the plans that suited them. Later I realized that these spirits were distracting people from their devotions. They did not want them to pray or to concentrate on positive thoughts. I had wondered how it was possible for this to happen in church, where one expected people to be in a calm state of mind, desiring to make contact with God. It was indeed true that many came to church out of habit or simply in order to make an impression. I continued to ponder these questions and asked myself, why could a powerful spirit not be present in order to keep these spirits from interfering with human members of the congregation? I stayed in the church so long as the worshippers were there and then left not knowing where to go next. I did not want to return to my wretched hut, but I had already decided that I had to give up smoking and drinking. Because I wanted to break these habits, I went into another church where the people were standing or sitting, some were kneeling and really praying. I went from one to another and made the interesting discovery that I could share their thoughts. Because this was so, I found that I as a spirit was able to pray with them. I could see what each person was praying for and his distress. I was very impressed by the deep faith some of these people possessed and by their fervent prayers. When I heard them thanking God for all that He had given them, I reproached myself bitterly. These people around me are good and true, I thought. They will not be given a wretched hut at the edge of a wood to live in. I don't suppose they will be told that they can do what they like. Perhaps they will even be able to ascend and immediately join the hosts of angels. Because I was now able to read people's thoughts, I could tell what they were planning to do that day and in the future, as well as perceive their attitude to what they had done in the past. Quite simply, their thoughts were open to me, and I was able to read them. I took pleasure in going from one person to another, discerning their needs and destiny. One person was silently praying for more peace and harmony at home, and I realized that my position was touched the same as his. I was just as full of doubt and uncertainty. I stood next to him, both of us uncertain as to whether we would one day find the peace we desired. We know nothing, and there is no one we can really trust to show us the way. Admittedly, there are many well-meaning spirits around, but it is better to rely on oneself rather than trust any of them. Later, since this was a feast day, I went into another church where a wonderful concert was taking place. I mingled with the musicians whose dedication and joy showed me that they were playing their music not just to entertain but to honor God. I began to see that this was why people went to church, to render thanks to God and to tell Him, I, too, seek union with you. I belong to you. Hold me in your keeping and do not turn away from me, for I, too, am your child. I now realized the true meaning in the practice of going to church. Because I liked music very much, I felt sure that the performance was an act of worship. I realized that here I was now under God's reign, and as soon as this thought struck me, I saw that certain people were no longer accompanied by the ordinary spirits I had noticed. Instead, they were attended by glorious spirits who must surely be divine angels. I felt a little afraid of them, or rather I had a bad conscience. I thought, I suppose that the angels who will judge me will look like that. I must do my best to see that this judgment is postponed as long as possible. I shall try to stay here if I can, and perhaps I shall be able in some way to make up for my faults and so earn more lenient treatment. The longer I looked at these radiant spirits, the more I came to feel that they might be guardian angels, or angels who had come to bring comfort to certain people. Some of them were holding something in their hands. I could not see what this was, and they were trying to transfer it to the human worshippers. It became clear to me that these angels had different tasks. When I looked into their faces, I saw that some were kind and friendly while others had a sterner expression. I would not have dared to approach or speak to these stern-looking angels, for I felt afraid of them. However, I decided that I would maybe contact with one of the kinder spirits sometime, using some pretext or other, a being of a loving appearance I did not have to be scared of. With the intention of trying to pray, I went up to a woman who was praying and who had a friendly spirit at her side. I moved towards this spirit until I was close enough to touch him, hoping he would notice my willingness to pray and to become devout. But even so, I lacked the courage to speak to him. I felt I had failed to catch his attention, and I was sorry that such a kindly looking spirit should not notice me. However, I stayed until the human worshipper got up and was about to go. Then I plucked up my courage and asked the angel, "Could you tell me in which church I could hear more of this wonderful music? I love the music." The spirit looked at me kindly but searchingly and said, "Brother, I shall have to find out for myself first. If you would like to wait here, I shall send someone who will be able to tell you." But it was this particular spirit I wanted to make contact with, for I was afraid that another spirit might treat me harshly and send me back to my wretched hut. So I answered, "Thank you, no, if you can't tell me yourself I had better make my own inquiries." "No, no," the kind spirit insisted, "stay here and I will send someone to you at once."